M is for Mason.
G is for Graham.
B for Thatcher.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG-rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages.
My name is Graham Bagshaw, and my co-host and creator of this podcast is proof that wrestling fans live with their parents, my 10-year-old son, Mason. All right, Mason, how's your week? Tell us about it.
Well, I had a reading SOL, which I finished in an hour and a half, and still, I had to wait a long time. I read my 200-page book like three times.
Didn't take three books?
I took the one that, the 365 day-to-day in sports, I took that one, and I read the day that it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Castle in the Attic.
Okay, I have no idea what that is, but
it's our reading group book, and then I read Restart.
Okay, and we should say the SOLs are the state tests that we have to do here in Virginia, and my class has those next week as well. I think that was your first SOL ever, right?
No, it's third.
Are you going in third grade?
I did two in third grade.
Okay, all right. Now, I thought you were going to talk about baseball, because it was the first of a season, but it was kind of a big moment. I know I posted it on Twitter. Do you want to give us the play-by-play?
So, it was two strikes on me, no balls, and then there was one that was a little in front of me, but it was a strike.
Mm-hmm.
And I cracked it, and I hit a home run.
Yes, you did. Inside the park job, I got it filmed. I posted it on Twitter. You were already around second by the time they were doing the throw-in. You're already on third by the time it reached second base, and then the relay was nowhere close to being there.
Yeah.
But you had plenty of speed. You were in there by a mile. You couldn't even see the ball by the time you touched home plate on the video.
So. There was no errors either.
So that was pretty interesting as well. Now, I got one other thing that I saw this week as well. I saw a report, which I thought was kind of interesting as well. It said Mason Bagshaw on the top. This was your report card. And I saw for oral language grade, you got an S+. S is satisfactory, S+ is above satisfactory, and S- is below satisfactory. So I'm guessing since you're doing this podcast, that's probably a good thing that you know how to talk. It said that you speak to convey meaning, you speak for a variety of purposes, and you speak in a variety of situations. So I think if you ever get an S-, you're getting kicked off this podcast, and I'm going to take Jackson instead. But yeah, good job, buddy. In fact, yeah, I saw you actually had a lot of A's on that report card as well. I think the lowest grade I saw was a B+ for science, which I thought was pretty good, actually. All right, also importantly, we're recording this Thursday night. Tomorrow, you got a big night as well. You want to talk about that?
Tomorrow, I'm going on a Matt Attack to do my Backlash predictions.
You are, and Matt Attack was our first guest that we had on episode 6. You can find him at The Matt Attack UK. And if you go to YouTube, if you Google The Matt Attack Podcast, then you can actually find his first two episodes. I did predictions with him for WrestleMania, which were not very good compared to yours, Mason. We should have just let you do it instead. He also did predictions recently for the Great Royal Rumble. I'm not sure how well they did. I did listen to that episode. And then, yeah, you're going to do episode 3 with him. So there's extra material you can listen to this week.
Let's take a look at the card for episode 11 of the MGB Wrestling Podcast. In match 1, we have This Week in Wrestling News. In match 2, our review of the Greatest Royal Rumble. In match 3, Tweet of the Week. In match 4, our review of Monday Night Raw. In match 5, Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? In match 6, our review of SmackDown Live. In match 7, Podcast of the Week.
Also, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and review us on iTunes, on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Mention the MGB Wrestling Podcast and Mason by name and make a 10-year-old's day. And we did put a few tweet outs. I think we had 3 5-star reviews this week. I know Matt Attack gave us a rating as well. We also had one from the Two Heels and a Face podcast. And we also had one from
Paul Tolley.
Follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod. And follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. Also, listen to the other podcasts on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. On Monday, there's the Ringside Rant. On Tuesday, there's Caden Nation. New to Wednesdays is Upstate Unplugged. And on Thursday, the guys from View from the Top Rope. In match 1, scheduled for
1-4.
This week in wrestling news. So this week in wrestling news, Glenn Jacobs campaigning to become the next mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. Now, we don't normally talk politics on this, Mason, so do you know who Glenn Jacobs is?
No.
Glenn Jacobs is Kane.
Oh.
So this actually might have a big impact of, is he actually going to be in WWE anymore? This is the highest profile switch from WWE to politics in about 20 years. Minnesota elected their governor in 1998. Now, Mason, do you know anybody else who has gone from wrestling into politics? And obviously this is way before you were born.
Can I put clue or something?
Is somebody you know? Shall I give you his nickname then?
Yeah.
That might give it away though. The Body.
Oh, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse the Body Ventura, yeah. Now, on an article from September 2017 on CBS Local, there was a quote that said, Jacobs dove into the intricacies of fiscal conservatism and workforce development while calling on more students to enroll in trade schools to help drive Knox County's economic engine. I was like, whoa, that's a quote from Kane? That was pretty impressive. So he obviously knows his stuff. He's not just in there as a famous face. Now, the primary election was actually held on my birthday. Mason asked me, am I going to mention my birthday? There you go, Mason, I just mentioned it. On May the 1st, and the general election is in 3 months' time. So this was actually a primary. Being from England, I'm still not clued up on all the election stuff, even though I've been out here for years now. So this is kind of like when the Republicans pick a candidate, and then the Democrats pick a candidate. So he was on the Republican side, and we'll find out what happened in a second, okay? They asked him, what made you think the time was right? He said, I'm 50 years old. I didn't even realize Kane was 50. I thought he was like in mid to late 40s. I was kind of surprised by that. There's a bit of time constraint, maybe. It's just that time in my life and for my family as well that it's a good decision for me to pursue this. Now, he actually got quite a few things on Twitter. You can follow him actually at Glenn Jacobs, TN. TN's for Tennessee. And he got some quite big support on Twitter that day. Actually, the day before, Ric Flair said, tomorrow is the big day for my good friend Glenn Jacobs. He is running for mayor of Knoxville. So go out and vote for him tomorrow. He is a very respected man who will do great things for the city of Knoxville. Also, he got a shout out from Talia. Tomorrow is the day, election day, and I'm supporting my good friend at Glenn Jacobs TM for Knox County Mayor. Titus O'Neill also threw in, tomorrow is the big day for at Glenn Jacobs TM in the mayor race for Knox County. Please get out and vote for a man who is not only a great WWE legend, but a man of character and integrity which will never get old to me. Go vote for Jacobs for mayor. Now, since I actually wrote this as my story, I wanted to see what actually happened. I don't remember if I told you, actually. Did I tell you the result for this one?
No.
Kane actually won. Mm. There was 40,000 votes cast. He won by 17. What? So if you don't think your vote counts, I think that shows that it probably does. So that doesn't mean that he's mayor. It just means that he's going to be the Republican candidate for mayor. But actually what it said is it pretty much guarantees that he is going to become the mayor because the county that he lives in almost always votes Republican. So that might have an effect. This might be the last time we get to see Kane. So make the most of your next few months. This might be the last time we see Kane for a little while. Match 2. This is our top 3 moments from the Greatest Royal Rumble, which was actually a week ago, last Friday, if you're listening to this on the day of release. All right, Mason, go ahead, start us off. What were your top 3 moments?
Number 3 is Hornswoggle enters the Rumble.
He did, yep.
And I got a picture with Hornswoggle, which makes it extra cool.
It did. And I actually had this as my 3rd moment as well. And I was watching this because you were still at school. I get out earlier because I'm at high school. And as soon as he came in, I was so excited by it. And I was like, I can't tell him. I just got to wait. And I didn't tell you. Your brother did spoil it because as soon as you walked in the house, he said, Braun Strowman won. I was like, oh, Jackson. I'd forgot that I had told him that. But thankfully, I didn't tell him about Hornswoggle. So that was kind of a cool moment. I had that as my 3 moment for a while. And then the last minute, just before he came on air, I actually moved it to 4, which we're not doing anyway. So I'm glad you have something. I'm glad we have something different for that. It said it was nearly 10 years since he was last in WWE.
Hmm.
And that's the time when I wasn't really watching. So I didn't realize it had been quite that long, actually. I didn't realize he'd won the Independence.
I saw one promo with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when Vicky Guerrero had a match in a pig's cage, and then Goldust and Hornswoggle came, and Hornswoggle tried to touch Vicky, and Goldust pulled him away and said, hey, don't touch that, that might be poo.
All right, go ahead, let's move on to number 2 then.
Number 2 is Rey Mysterio, he does a 619, mm-hmm. and then Randy Orton, he does an RKO on Strowman.
And I was sort of waiting when that came in, because I was like, you know that he's going to want to do it. And that was a surprise as well. Like, I didn't know Rey Mysterio was coming back until a little bit later. I think I knew a few days before. And actually, we might have announced, actually, that Rey Mysterio was one of those people. But I certainly didn't know over a week before that. And you saw him come in, and you're like, he's got to do the 619. And there was a few opportunities, and he didn't quite do it. And I was like, is he just going to get eliminated? But no, he got to do his signature move, which was kind of cool. All right, now number 1, this is very controversial. I asked you ahead of time what they are so I can sort of compare them. I did not see this as your number 1, but go ahead.
So Jeff Hardy, he jumps off the back top rope into the mat. And Jinder pretends he just got hit, and Jinder was a mile away.
Jinder wasn't even close.
If you don't know that wrestling's not real, it's not real.
You do now.
Yeah, you do now.
Absolutely. And we didn't say the best, and we talked about this before actually last week. We've always said our top three moments. It's not the best three moments. And I think probably when we look back at this in the future, that's when we'll probably think back at. We'll remember, how bad was that? And it was awful. Now, I want to know, then, who are you blaming for this? Is this Jinder, or was this Jeff?
Yeah, Jinder.
Well, you just said both. Whose fault was it?
Jinder.
Okay. What about Jeff, though? How about he take a look over his shoulder rather than doing a backwards dive?
Well, Jinder's the one who can see both perspectives. So he could have crawled a little bit more.
He could have moved a lot
quicker.
And then
Jeff Hardy was a done it. And then, or you could have just faked. Or Jinder, he shouldn't even have faked, like, he just jumped on him. He should have just, Jeff Hardy should have faked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jinder should have got up, roll, kick out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so like, kick to the face. And then Jeff tries it again.
And then try it again.
Yeah.
And I agree. When you talked to me afterwards, that made perfect sense. Jinder should have just been like, oh, he messed up. Try and pin him. Obviously, he's going to let him kick out. And then you just try the same move again in like a minute's time. It's not like you're going to run over by too much. But yeah, I agree. They did not do a good job of that. And the commentators, they didn't know how to react to that at all because it was just so bad. All right, now my three moments, I think we had all different moments. My number three moment was, and it's not really a moment, but coming home on a Friday and being able to watch live wrestling, it was kind of cool. I did think about taking the day off because it was like kind of a unique thing. I'm glad I didn't do that. I didn't think it was a brilliant pay-per-view event, but I thought it was good. And it was nice after the end of a week, just being able to come home, watch some wrestling, get to see some top matches. And yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed that. I thought it was unique having wrestling on Friday afternoon straight after work. My number two moment, which I guess controversial as well, because I think this is most people's number one, Titus O'Neil falling as he entered and then going straight under the ring. Now, you're rolling your eyes at this. This has got to at least make your top five, surely.
It would have been number two if I don't feel like I should have two fails. But I thought Jinder was a little better, so.
And I hear you as well. And I thought for the same thing. I could have put Jinder on mine, and I didn't want to put two fails on either. And I just honestly thought we'd pick the same one. They've already developed that as well into the next event, which we'll talk about in a minute probably as well. But no, I thought that's something that's memorable. And I think that will actually be the number one most memorable moment when we look in a year's time or 5 years' time. Now, I thought that might surprise you. So I didn't tell you what mine were, I don't think. So any ideas what my number one is going to be?
Your number one?
Yep. It's part you watched. Oh. You missed a couple of little bits, actually.
Oh,
you
Seth watched. Jumps from the top
Correct.
Rope into the ladder.
Seth Rollins finished to retain the Intercontinental Championship. I thought it was absolutely amazing. I didn't see it coming at all. It looked like Finn Balor was going to win. The cameraman didn't even catch it, which was awful, but you could see it on the replay.
Yeah, I could see it on the TV.
You could see it, but it wasn't the way it should have been filmed. They should have made a much better job of that. But the shock factor on that for me was like, wow. It just looked like Finn Balor won. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you sometimes have that when it's like, oh, look, he's going to win. And you think, he's just going to kick the ladder over. And sure enough, that normally happens. I didn't see this one at all. It looked like he'd... I don't know. If he'd have mistimed that and how quick he managed to land and climb at the same time and grab it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really acrobatic. I thought it was a great moment. All right, match three, tweet of the week. Now, neither of us actually talked about, I can't say it's the main event, because obviously that was the greatest Royal Rumble, but the championship, the Universal Championship, between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns speared Brock Lesnar out, he landed on the cage, and then Roman Reigns rolled off. Now, I was watching this live, and I was tweeting with a few other people, and I said straight away, Roman Reigns is the winner. His feet landed on the ground first. And definitely Brock Lesnar didn't do that. Now, actually, we saw afterwards the referee on his Twitter account, Chad Patton, which is at Chad Patton WWE. He tweeted out just before Monday Night Raw, I understand I made an incorrect decision and I want to apologize. During the hashtag Universal Title match at hashtag WWE GRR, I saw Brock Lesnar go through the cage first and was concerned for the health and safety of both superstars. Now, they put that out and then nothing happened. So I thought that was kind of strange. If they put that out there, any ideas why they put that out there? I'm sure it's because Vince told them, hey, look, you need to put this tweet out. I'm sure it wasn't Chad Patton thinking, oh, I should put this tweet out.
Well, Roman did complain it on Raw, and I think it'll play out at Backlash.
Now, my theory for this one is actually Roman Reigns is still getting booed. He's still very unpopular, but my feeling is this to try and gain some sympathy for Roman Brock Lesnar. Like, look, sorry, not Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry, for Roman Reigns. Look, he was cheated. Even the referee said he should win. We're not going to give him the title. And I'm wondering if they're trying to give him a little bit of a pop. But I guess we'll see for that. Now, actually, reading the comments on that was kind of interesting. And I haven't showed you the video for this yet. But at Matt Skillet Guy posted, watch this video. Only one of Roman's feet was on the floor. And I didn't notice this, actually. And it's true. The other one actually landed on the apron. So, you know that where it says, like, the greatest Royal Rumble or whatever? His foot was actually on that. So it didn't actually touch the ground. So I'm not sure on the rule for that either. Does it have to touch the solid ground? Or does it have to... And it's only obviously very thin, but I'm not sure on that one. And it says, and then Brock rolled off the cage, getting both of his feet on the floor. Therefore, Brock is the real winner. So that's a little bit of a conspiracy as well. I didn't see anybody talk about that. They didn't talk about it on WWE at all. But if you get the chance, go back and look at the video. Roman Reigns definitely gets one foot on the ground, but his other foot is definitely on the apron. So I'm not sure if that counts or not, but I thought that was interesting.
Ooh.
Now, also on this, I found some other interesting ones as well. At WWE Creative _ISH, Chad Patton's call was the worst decision a referee ever made. On an unrelated note, we are in Montreal. Obviously in reference to the Montreal Screwjob. And at WWE Drinking Game, they put Chad Patton officially turned heel by making us another Roman and Brock match. I think that's true, probably. They probably are going to have to fight again now. And I think everyone's so tired of seeing those two together. So yeah, there was some interesting stuff on following that tweet from Chad Patton. Now, we deliberately switched the order for this. Normally match three, I would do your quiz. As it linked in perfectly between the two segments, that's why I switched Tweet of the Week this week. So match four was Raw from Montreal. So we had that quote from Chad Patton, and then we led into Raw. So go ahead. Do you want to give us your top three moments, Mason?
Number three is Braun helps Bobby and Roman
mm-hmm.
against Jinder Sami, Kevin Owens, and Sunil Singh.
All right. Now, I have a question for you, and you're obviously allowed to pick this moment. In recent months, there's been a feud, and it's involved several people, and one of them was Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Why is Braun Strowman helping Roman Reigns?
Like, he had an ambulance match.
Yeah.
He got destroyed by Roman Reigns.
I think Kane was in that one as well, I think, around that time.
Yeah, he was involved. Why are you helping Roman, and why is Bobby helping?
I didn't understand that one. Now, there is talk that Braun and Bobby could be put together as a tag team pairing, and I think they did, actually, the previous week. So, I don't know, but it's very confusing. Obviously, Braun's not that heel anymore, because if he's helping somebody like Roman Reigns, he's definitely turning into a face now. I don't have a problem with that. I think whatever they do with Braun Strowman, he's so over right now. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, I'm fine with that. It's just, you had an ambulance match, like, I think, yeah, they just didn't go the right way.
I think the writing was a little off on this one. All right, anyway, number two.
Number two is Strowman. He runs through Kevin Owens, and then Braun goes into the ring.
And this follows your normal theme of picking something a week after I already picked it as one of my moments. But anyway, that's fine. That's okay. So I picked the Nakamura when you said, I know speak English, and the next week you picked. So you like it not the first time, you always like it the second time. Alright, you're pointing at me, I get it, you want to say something.
So the thing is, I don't appreciate the first time. And then, when I see how humorous it is on the second time, then I start laughing. And
so you're telling me you're a little slow, is that what you're telling me? Alright, I got you.
So let me
you're giving shade to yourself.
He goes in the ring, then he comes back out, then he runs over Sami Zayn. And then he comes to KO. KO sidesteps, and then he says hello to the barricade.
Okay, all right. Give us your number one moment.
Number one says Seth says he doesn't want to be a champion like Brock Lesnar that doesn't defend his title, and says Roman is the real champ. And I wonder if it's the Shield thing, like, they're still brothers and all that stuff.
That's kind of interesting. I'm going to say, I'm not sure when Ambrose is coming back. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that now. It's been so long. Well, that was last month. We're in May now, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But yeah, it seems like so long ago now. It's almost like an afterthought. Yeah, I really don't know what's going to happen with that. No, I thought Seth did a pretty good promo, actually.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say this, and I agree with this. I don't like his voice, though. There's something about his voice that just gets me, and I don't quite like it. You're pulling a face. You obviously don't mind. It's very, I don't know, nasally, or I don't know. I don't really like it, but anyway. You don't mind it, that's fine. All right, my top three moments were Reigns' intro at the start. He got so many boos. He got cheated out of the championship, as I just said, and the Canadian audience are boo. Now, apparently he did get booed a lot last time he was in Montreal, so no matter what, they obviously don't like him there. But yeah,
except they showed the one person.
They did. They showed the one person who was clapping, and all you can hear is boos. Yeah, typical. All right, number two, my moment. I liked everyone speaking in French. There was lots of bonjours, and there was a Je m'appelle Finn. My name is Finn. Of course, KO did it as well. I don't know what KO said. I was picking up little bits here and there. And Sami Zayn as well, because they're from that area. And no, I just liked it. I thought it was a little interesting. They were definitely they were definitely pandering to that crowd with them. I don't know if you realize that part of Canada speaks French.
No.
French-Canadian.
I didn't even hear any.
Now, so I learnt French in school. So I learnt, everyone in England learns French from, I don't know what age, I'm trying to think, probably at least 13, and I think you do it for like 3 years and you get tested on it and you can do two more years. So I did it for 3 years. So I picked up on a few little bits there. All right. Now, my number one match was very general. The Rollins and Balor match. I thought it was as good as any finishing matches that I've seen so far this year. There was multiple incidents where there was different things happening. There was rollovers, there was reversals. I was just impressed with the whole match. I did like you wanted to the other week almost. I could with probably a few months ago with AJ and Nakamura. I could have almost picked three moments from that one thing, but I didn't want to. So we make up our own rules for this. So that's my number one moment, that whole match. All right, shall we see what happened then? The top 10.
Yeah.
Number 10, Titus falls off the apron trying to get into the ring. Now, it was so obvious something like that was going to happen. It's obviously going to be part of his character, but actually there was a reason for doing it. It was to set Baron Corbin up, because Baron Corbin thinks he's a clown, and then he got rolled up by No Way Jose. So that was the number 10 moment. Number 9, Braun Strowman throwing the Singh brother over the top rope. Number 8, Balor and Rollins take out the Mr. Raj, but then Rollins gets taken out by Balor. He had a big smile on his face as well. Is that a heel turn there? Alright, number 7, Elias slams Bobby Roode into the ring post. I don't know. He said he was holding his neck or his chest. I didn't see it. It didn't look anything like that when I watched it. I don't know. Number 6, the Authors of Pain with their Super Collider, followed by the last chapter. I'm not impressed by that Super Collider. They bang each other's backs into each other gently and they drop them down. I don't like that. 5, Superplex. Finn reverses it and Seth kicks out. That's part of one of mine. I couldn't pick which moment I want. Number 4, Ronda chases Alexa. And then Nia comes down the ramp too as Natalya wins against Mickie James. I was close to picking that as one of my moments, but I picked so many Ronda moments recently, I avoided it this time. Number 3, and we both said this one, the Riot kick to Sasha in the 1-2-3. How is that top 3? We both thought, I wrote these down first, and I was like, what? After I'd done my moments. And same for you, after you've seen it. I was like, I don't know where that's coming from at all.
Me neither.
Yeah, number 2, Braun delivers a power slam after KO thought he was in control. Yeah, KO thought he'd got that match. Nope. And number 1, Rollins delivers a stomp and retains the Intercontinental Championship. Alright, here we go, Mason. In match 5, are you smarter than a 4th grader? Now, actually, I know for a fact last week you did beat some people, because I did hear, we're not going to name names this time, but we did hear that somebody had an absolute nightmare on this, so we'll see how you can do this week, okay? Now, we've actually had this round before, but I actually did several names at once when I did this, so we're going to go back to this one. So, I'm going to give you some wrestlers, and you're going to tell me is their first name their real name, okay? So, for example, I think in the other one we actually had John Cena.
Yeah.
And John is his first name. Now, even if his real name had been Jonathan, I'm still going to accept it, okay? So it's got to be something that's close, okay? All right, now I put them in alphabetical order, so you don't know where I put them. Because I didn't want you thinking, oh, I bet he put like a first one is true, or he put a first one. I didn't want you to figure any of that out, okay? All right, first one. As we just watched the documentary, Andre the Giant. Let's see if you were paying attention. Was that his real name?
Oh, no, it was Joe? No, it's not his real name, I know that.
Okay, you're wrong. His real name was Andre Rene Rusamoff. All right, we just watched that documentary. That's supposed to be your easy question. That was his wrestling character. That wasn't his real name, though. It said at the start, what's his name? And they went, they were like, Andre. They're like, oh, let's just put Andre the Giant. So that's what they... Oh, well, that's a terrible start. So, anyway, that was a terrible start. Let's see if you can carry on. All right, number 2, Booker T.
Not real.
It's actually true. It's Booker Huffman. I was shocked by that one. I did not think that was his real name. I would not have got that question at all. I'm really surprised. I've never heard anyone called Booker. I was really, look you're giving me right now as mine. I was like, he's not going to believe that for 1 second. I thought, giving you Andre the Giant, I'm going to give you a tough one next one to balance it up. All right, number 3. I know you're getting this one. Daniel Bryan.
I know his real name is Brian Danielson.
Correct, so the answer is no then. Correct, you got that one. Alright, so you got one out of three so far. Alright, what about Jake the Snake Roberts? Is his real name Jake?
Jake.
Could be Jacob, possibly?
No.
Aurelian Smith Jr. Aurelian, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. I'm really confused by that one. All right, so you got back to 50%. You got 2 out of 4. All right, what about Hall of Famer Coco Beware?
No.
It's not, but his real last name is Ware, actually. It's James Ware. So you got 3 out of 5. All right, what about, and I'm going to do the action as well, Rob Van Dam.
Robbie or Rob.
There's a lot of possibilities for that one,
Robert,
isn't there?
Roberto. not real.
It's true, actually. It's Robert, so Rob, Alex, and I'm not even sure how you pronounce that last name, Zatkowski. And I'm going to go with my best Polish pronunciation. There's a W in there, but I'm going to pronounce it as V. So Robert Alex Zatkowski. All right, so I think you're back to 50% then, right? 3 out of 6. All right, this one you should know as well, because I know you've read about this person. Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio?
Mm-hmm.
Is his real? Not real.
No, it's not. And Rey in Spanish is actually king. There's one of the soccer competitions or football competitions called the Copa del Rey. And it means the Cup of Kings. So it just means king, actually. Oh, as far as I can understand, that's what it means. So, all right. So if you get this one right, you've actually got 5 out of 8, which wouldn't be a bad recovery. All right. Another Hall of Famer for you. Trish Stratus.
I know. I even know her finishing move is Stratus Baxi.
Oh, that's a good last name. I like that. We were going to do a round on that, finishes at some point, and I just couldn't find any that weren't too obvious. Like, most of them are so obvious. But that was a good, I like that one. Obviously, you would have known Stratisfaction. I could have figured that out. That's a great name.
Yeah, like Satisfaction, Stratisfaction.
Got it. You don't have to explain it to me.
Okay.
All right. What about Trish Stratus? Is her real name Trish?
Not real.
It is, actually. It's Patricia. I never really thought of it as Patricia. Patricia Stratus? That sounds really weird. That's where the Trish comes from. Patricia and, another one of those tough names to pronounce. Strategius? I think it's it could be Strategius. I'm not sure. So anyway, 4 out of 8. Let us know on Twitter. I think the person that lost to you last week is going to get his revenge this week. So, match 6 is SmackDown. Okay, Mason, go ahead. Start us off.
Number 3 is Paige says the Absolution is dead.
And the girls had a big smile on their faces, and Paige just basically knocked them back straight away. So, yeah, perhaps they're not going to get any special favors at all on SmackDown.
Number 2 is AJ says Nakamura is looking for the wrong jewels.
It is very clever. You did ask, am I allowed to say that? I was like, absolutely. Now, I'm going to say, WWE is now PG. I said, as long as you don't go into too much details, then I think that's just fine. I thought that was very clever of him to say that.
Hornswoggle is dressed up as Daniel Bryan.
This your number 1 moment?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't see Hornswoggle anywhere. I saw a little person who had a beard on and who was dressed up, but I don't think there's any way that's Hornswoggle.
It looks exactly like Hornswoggle, and he does the kicks like Hornswoggle. Like, it looks like he's about to knock him down, and then he just stands there, brushes it off. And the thing is,
no, I'm going to tell you, when he came out, I thought it was Hornswoggle, but once he got into the ring, it was like, nope, definitely not Hornswoggle. And I haven't seen it since, but I don't know. I'm saying no. I guess somebody will tell us if it is or not, but I think you're wrong on this one.
But the thing is, Big Cass was saying Daniel Bryan is super small, like the people in the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And he was a little person, and Hornswoggle was already a wrestler. Why train another person when you have Hornswoggle there who just competed in a match, and he's perfectly fine? And it goes with the storyline that he says Daniel Bryan is very little.
Did you know there's a whole independent wrestling group full of little people?
No.
I follow them on Twitter. So there's more than one wrestler. There's more than Hornswoggle. So I think you're being a little heightist on this. Just because he's a little guy doesn't mean it's Hornswoggle. But all right, you like the moment anyway. That's fine. Did you like it because it was Hornswoggle, or did you like it just the whole thing with?
I like it because it was a little person and it was dressed up as Daniel Bryan in the story. It
was funny. He had like his T-shirt on and everything. You could see it wasn't. It clearly wasn't Daniel Bryan. So no, it was kind of a funny moment for Big Cass to do that. Yes. All right, number 3 for me. I went with Randy Orton teaming with Jeff Hardy. Miz tried to set them up as a feud, and we talked about this because one of them played the music, and then the other one ran out, and then they did the reverse the following week, and we thought they had something to follow up. And Randy Orton's like, no, we're good as far as I'm concerned. It's a trade-off, and I'm okay with it. Anything you want to add to that one?
No.
All right, number two, the Oscar lock. Oh, my goodness. I was so impressed with this. Yeah. I really was, I'm going to say, she's had a couple of losses recently, and it looked like she might even lose that match. But the way she reversed that move, I think it was against Peyton Royce.
Yeah.
I was just so impressed with it. The speed that she moved that was just so impressive to me. Number one, I just put the end of the Randy Orton match. I left it like that. I don't think we need to say anything else about that one. All right, top 10 moments then were Shelton Benjamin asking for a match. You can ask all he wants. I don't really care. 9, Sheamus wanted a match with Xavier Woods. It looked like Big E was starting to get upset, and he's like, yeah, I'm not talking to you. And it was Xavier Woods. We don't like the New Day anyway, but it's probably the thing I liked most about the New Day all this year. Number 8, Joe's promo again. He says he wants AJ Styles. Even a promo now is getting top 10 on this. We normally say that. That rarely gets top 10. They don't really like the speeches as much. It's normally the wrestling action. I like him, Samoa Joe, doing his promos right now. Number 7, Xavier Woods dives off the ropes to take out Sheamus. Number 6, here's your moment, the mini Daniel Bryan. So, you got that one. Number 5, Xavier Woods rolls up Sheamus. Number 4, spear on Carmella, and then there was a moonsault. Number 3, the RKO on Shelton Benjamin, and a swanton bomb for Matt Hardy, and then an RKO for Jeff Hardy. I think that one's mine. Number 2, an Oscar lock on Peyton Royce. I got that one. And number 1, Nakamura's music plays. And then actually he comes from the other side, and there's another low blow, and then a Kinshasa to AJ Styles. So you got part of that one, because you did talk about those guys. All right, in match 7, podcast of the week. All right, do you want to go first or second, Mason?
Second.
You want to go second? All right. My podcast this week is the Is It Over Yet podcast. Now, the over is actually in quotation marks. So it's not like, is it over? Like, is it finished? It's, is it over? You know, like somebody is really there with the crowd now. See, it's kind of clever, that, right? Now, this is actually really difficult to find, though. I found one episode. I couldn't find any more episodes. If you want to find these guys, you have to go to IIOY !! Or exclamation point, depending on how you say it. So it's the abbreviations for Is It Over Yet. If you just type in Is It Over Yet, you don't find it, which is really confusing. Anyway, the Is It Over Yet podcast is Sam and Dan. They just actually released episode 4 in the last few days, and they describe themselves as two dudes watching and talking wrestling weekly. You can find them at IIOY podcast. And I actually listened to, I'm trying to remember which one it was, episode 3 I think was the first one I listened to. I was really impressed with the knowledge of these guys. You can tell they're really passionate about wrestling. I then went back, listened to episode 1 and 2 to catch up to date. And then I listened to episode 4 this morning. And actually, I think I've listened to all 4 episodes in about 4 days. So, I think these guys are really good. Definitely give them a check out. As far as I can tell, PG. I did actually ask them. They said occasionally they drop in a word, but so does WWE, so I'm okay with that one. I'm going to add that one to yours. They also have some really cool things on their Twitter feed as well. So one of the things they have with that over thing, each week they actually give you 2 people to vote on of who you think is the most over right now. Now, I went back and I couldn't find the one from last week. I know I voted Matt Hardy, but I can't remember who he was against. So this week, Mason, I'm going to ask you, and then we can vote on your behalf after we finish this podcast. Who is most over this week? Is it Samoa Joe? Or is it Tommaso Ciampa?
It's hard because we didn't really watch.
We didn't watch NXT. No, we did see the one where he took out Johnny Gargano though, so he missed that match.
Yeah, when he took.
And he was on top of the building when he was in the ambulance.
This one's hard because Samoa Joe has had a good promo.
Oh, it's a great question.
And Tommaso Ciampa took out. Oh gosh.
Mm-hmm. You only get to pick one. And I went to Tommaso Ciampa as well. And I think actually Samoa Joe was leading when I actually looked. I think my vote actually leveled it up. So I think depending on how many other people have voted right now, we might actually push it over the other side. They also have some cool little things where there's old wrestling pictures as well. There's a very young picture of John Cena. And there was one other one where they said, who is this? And I looked at it, and it was a clean-shaven wrestler, very young. And I looked at the eyes, it was Tommaso Ciampa. And I actually asked them, I was like, is it Tommaso Ciampa without a beard? I've never seen him without a beard. We've only been watching NXT for a short while. So those guys have some interesting things on Twitter as well. Definitely go check them out. Once again, it's the @IIOY podcast. And if you're searching for them on iTunes, IIOY !! All right, go ahead then, Mason. Who's your podcast of the week?
I saved the best for last.
Of course.
It's PWP Nation Two-Faced Wrestling Pod episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason
you can find them at Two-Faced Pod.
And the reason I really liked it, because we got a shout-out, and...
We did. I asked them a question, and I picked this as my podcast of the week. I think it was episode 9. And I asked them a question in between for episode 10. We just watched, I think it was the... Was it the greatest Royal Rumble that we'd watched? Yeah, because they'd had the match with Rusev, the... I forgot what that match was called.
The casket match?
Thank you. The casket match. And there were some other little gimmick matches. Obviously the cage match and things like that. So I asked them, is there any gimmick matches in New Japan? Because it's something I would like to kind of get into. And apparently there isn't, just to give you the short version of that. But then after that, this is the bit that you like, I think, right?
Yeah, they said to go check out our podcast, the MGB Wrestling Pod. So I would like to return the favor and mention the PWP Nation Two-Faced Wrestling Pod.
They did, and they were, and you're being very modest here. They mentioned you specifically by name. They said that you think you're really cool, and they love the stuff that you're actually doing. And that was really nice of them to do that. And we certainly listened to that. We listened to that. Now, actually, we were supposed to listen to that on the way to your baseball practice, and for some reason it didn't download. So actually, you listened to it on the Saturday when we went to your game. And I didn't tell you what. I just said, oh, they've asked me a I've asked them a question. We'll listen to it. And I didn't tell you ahead of time. And it was really cool, actually, looking at you in the wing and looking at you in the mirror as I was driving. And you had a big smile come all over your face when you heard your name. And they were giving you lots of praise. So that was really cool of them to do that. So please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and review us on iTunes on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Mention the MGB Wrestling Podcast and Mason and make a 10-year-old today. Follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod. Mason, you're on 199 followers. I tried to get you to 200 before today's episode. It didn't quite work. We'll have to check afterwards, but certainly by next episode you'll be there. Considering you're at 100 at spring break, I think that's pretty good, actually. Follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. And don't forget, you've the other episodes on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Next week, we're probably going to do a slightly shorter version because we also have Nova Pro coming up. It's only 3 weeks between episodes this time. So that's going to be coming up. So we'll do our regular episode on Friday. And then on the following Saturday, or probably Sunday more likely, we'll review that event. Any ideas what this one's called? It's got a really strange name.
Threat of Joy.
There you go. Yeah, it's not really sticking with me, this one, at all. It's a really strange name. I don't know where it came from. So we got that coming up as well.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
The music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompitech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.